Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 32. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. We love you. And Father, it's quite evident that your presence is here this evening. The Holy Spirit, use our preacher. Lord, all of us stand before you needy. We live in a sinful world, and there are things around us that at times we don't pay attention to, but they're bothering us. Father, please use our preacher, use him mightily, and give us a great service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Bibles again, and look at Psalm 32. Psalm chapter 32, I want you to look at verse number 7. I'm going to refer to Psalms 32, 7 many times at the beginning of my sermon. Psalm 32, 7, the Bible says this, Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. That's the title of the sermon tonight, Songs of Deliverance. Now, these are not just songs about deliverance. I think these are also songs that help with the deliverance. Now, it's very important that we understand this scripture. Of course, Psalm 32 was inspired by God. God allowed David to write it. And then we find out, I'm going to look at it. We're going to take phrase after phrase, a few words, and we're going to look at them. And then I'll give you the sermon, Songs of Deliverance. It says here, David said, Thou art my hiding place. Now, that word thou, that's our God. Thank God that we have a great God. This is Jehovah God. This is not the God of your choice. This is the God of the universe. This is the creator of all things. It says, Thou art my hiding place. He says, Thou art my. Oh, that's personal. He's my God, he's your God, and he's a personal God. And then it is said, Thou art my hiding place. In other words, God said, David is saying here, God, you're the one that provides me with safety. You're my hiding place. I hide in you. It's safe in you. Then he goes on and he uses the words, Thou shalt preserve me. Again, there's God, that personal God. It says thou, and it uses the word shalt. That means it's a for sure thing. It's not a maybe. If God tells you he's going to do something, you can go to the bank on it. If God tells you something's going to happen, you can be sure it's going to happen. And so David says, thou, the great God, shalt preserve me. Now that word preserve again, it means he's going to keep us. He's going to protect us. When you preserve something, you keep it in a pure or its original state. And he says, God, I know then you, not maybe, but you will preserve or protect me. And it's very personal. You can take care of me. Then he says, from trouble. From trouble. What is that? That's hurt. What is that? Trouble. That's destruction. What is that? Those things that would weaken us. What is trouble? Trouble are those things that would tear us down, tear us apart, break us down. But here, David said, God, you're going to take care of me. You're my personal God. You're my safety provider. You're the one that can, not maybe, but for sure can take care of me and preserve me. And you can keep me from trouble. Then he says, thou shalt compass me about. What does it mean? Again, at speaking of the very same great Jehovah God, the creator of the universe, the one that flung the stars into the space, the one that created the ocean and all the fish in the sea, that very same God, he said, you for sure are going to compass me about. What's it mean, compass me about? He said, my God surrounds me. My God surrounds me like a wall of protection. My God is like a fort with fortified walls, and I am inside him and he keeps me safe like a force field. See, God is David's protection, and this is the same God that's our God. God is wanting to surround us with something to protect us from harm. God said, I want you to be protected. I'm going to put a force field up around you, and it's going to help you. It's going to protect you from spiritual harm. I want to be your force field. I want to be your preserver. I want to keep you from trouble. I want to be your hiding place. And God is saying, I'm going to build something around you, and it's going to keep you safe. It's going to protect you. It's going to be like a wall that keeps bad out and good in. I want to keep spiritual harm out of your life. I want to keep physical harm out of your life. I want to keep emotional harm out of your life. I want to keep mental harm out of your life. I want to provide protection for you. And God is about to tell us, what's he going to do to keep us safe like this? What's one of these things that is going to be a wall of protection? And he goes on and says, with songs of deliverance. With songs of deliverance. Huh. Isn't that amazing? God said, I want to preserve you. I want to keep you from trouble. I want to surround you with protection. I want to be your hiding place. I'm going to take care of you. Well, God, how are you going to do it? How are you going to keep me safe? How are you going to preserve me? How are you going to make my Christianity last like it should? How are you going to keep me from trouble? What are you going to surround me with that's going to help me that I don't get hurt? With songs of deliverance. Huh? What? I thought he was going to say with a machine gun. I thought he was going to say with steel-toed boots. I thought he was going to say with a spear or a dagger or a 357 pistol. But he said, I am going to protect you with songs of deliverance. Sounds to me like God wants to protect you. What songs are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the songs that you listen to. God wants you to be safe. The right kind of music protects you. The right kind of music preserves you. The right kind of music will preserve you, protect you, and keep you from trouble. And God said, I want you to be compassed about with the right kind of music. The right kind of music will help to deliver you from the evils of life. We're talking about the songs that you listen to and how they're going to affect you. We're talking about the songs that you memorize. Deliverance means provided freedom. I think God is saying, I'll give you music that will deliver you. I'll give you music that will provide you with freedom. You say, freedom from what, preacher? From your old life. There are some of you, you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And we've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people get saved in the last few months. And there are a lot of new converts in our church. And you have an old life back before you knew Jesus. And now you have a new life. And you say, preacher, I want to leave the old life behind. And there's some things back there that are bad for me. And there's some things that have a way of controlling me. And they're bad. How can I get delivered? Let me tell you something. One of the keys to being delivered from the old life is to be delivered from the old music. Because the old music will attach you to the old life. It's deliverance from your old life. He said, I'm going to provide you songs of deliverance. Deliverance from your old music captivity and deliverance from your old habits. Let me tell you something. If there are habits in the world that you should not have, but you are singing about those habits or you're listening to music about those habits, you are not doing yourself a favor. If you say, I got saved and I'm going to give up the bottle and I'm done drinking, then you're not going to be able to listen to your country music that sings about getting drunk on Saturday night.
You say, Brother Owens, I'm giving up immorality. Then are you going to have to stay away from your rock and roll music that promotes your immorality? You see, the songs of deliverance will help deliver you from the sins of life. They're not just songs about being delivered. There are songs that will help with your deliverance, with your freedom. God wants to provide you with protection, and He does it, and He offers it by surrounding you, compassing you about with songs of deliverance. Hey, every Christian here, you need to surround yourself with the right kind of music. Surround your, not with the wrong kind of music, with the right kind of music. Surround. It says compasses about. What's that mean? It's everywhere in your life. It's everywhere in your life. And for some of you older Christians, what I'm about to say, you're going to say, ah, we already know that. But some of you know it and you're not practicing it. But there are some new Christians here that don't know what I'm about to say. Did you know you're supposed to have good music everywhere in your life, not just at church? There are some of you, you come to church and you say, ah, that's the church music. But you go out into your car and the music that's in your car would never be allowed in church. Oh, you might want to be careful now. God said, I want to compass you about with songs of deliverance. Songs that will help deliver you from a nasty worldly lifestyle. God wants you to be surrounded by it. Not just at church. Everywhere. At church. In your home. Songs of deliverance. At school. Songs of deliverance. At work, songs of deliverance. In your car, songs of deliverance. With your radio, songs of deliverance. In your truck while you're driving, songs of deliverance. In public, songs of deliverance. In private, songs of deliverance. With your iPod, songs of deliverance. With your computer, songs of deliverance. With your cell phone, songs of deliverance. Hey, you connect up your iTunes. If I was able to put on a screen here what your iTunes have been going to and what you've been downloading, and we would find out whether you are listening to songs of deliverance or songs of captivity. And God said, I want to surround you with something that will keep you safe. It will protect you. It will make you spiritual. It will preserve you. What is it, God? He said, the right kind of music. That's what will surround you. It's what God is saying is the kind of music you ought to have in your life is godly Christian music. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 63 says, behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. He said, behold, they're sitting down. They're rising up. I am their music. It's talking about all day long. God said they get up in the morning. They're listening to the right kind of music. They finally quit it at the end of the day. They listen to the right kind of music all day long. It's everywhere. We're surrounded by it. Not just at church. Everywhere. Everywhere surrounded by the right kind of music. Listen to this verse. In Psalm chapter 126, verse 1 and 2, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Understand, somebody was in captivity. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Here are some people that were in captivity. They were in captivity in the world, and God turned their captivity. In other words, He delivered them. Then their mouth was filled with laughter and their tongue was filled with singing. Listen, let me tell you something. God wants to deliver you, but singing is going to have something to do with it. I think singing will encourage you, but you got to sing the right kind of things. There are people right now, there are sins in your life. You know you need to take them out of your life. You're saying, Brother Owens, it's very hard. I'm having a hard time getting this particular sin out of my life. And I'm going to give you a little hint what would help you. Stop listening to the music that promotes that sin in your life. There are songs that will deliver you from your old life. And some of you, it's not just your old life. There are some of you, you have backslidden and you're a mess right now. And I'm going to tell you one reason why. You're listening to the wrong kind of music. You are listening. It is rare that you'll ever find anybody that backslides very much that their music has not affected them. Their music, it'll mess with you. Hey, the change that these people made in Psalm 126, it says we are in captivity. We came out of captivity. Our hearts, our tongue was filled with singing all the way to the point that everybody, it says then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. You know what happened? These people were brought out of captivity. They were singing this song that was a song of deliverance. And the heathen said, look, there's something new about them. Look, look what great thing has happened to them. Look, there's something different about them. You listen to me. What you need to do is as you're coming away from sin, you get rid of the wrong kind of music, put the right kind of music in. And your friends are going to say, huh, you're changing things, huh? You're going to say, uh-huh, I'm changing things. Even all the way to my music. My music is song of deliverance, not song of captivity. People ought to see it. You'll have friends that'll get in the car and they'll want to turn the radio station on to the station you ought not be listening to. And you'll have to say, I don't listen to that anymore. I don't listen to that anymore. It's songs of deliverance. God wants to deliver you from the world. God wants to deliver you from the sins of the world and the pain of the world and the captivity of the world. And your music is a part of that deliverance. Listen to Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 through 3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Here it says, the psalmist said, I was in a horrible pit. My life was a mess. I was dirty. It was dark. It was depressing. But God saved me. He put me on a rock. And when he did, he started changing my music. Why? We need songs of deliverance. He said he put a new song in my mouth. A new CD in my CD player. A new download of iTunes into my telephone. I'm going to do it right. God gave me some new music, and I am going to use that new music, and I am not going to allow the devil to hold on to me through my music. Why is music such a big part of deliverance? Well, the word music comes from the word muse. M-U-S-E. Muse means to think. The Old Testament, the Bible says that David, while the fire burned, mused. He mused. Thinking. Music's to make you think. Music will affect your thinking. We live in a generation of amusing. That's the opposite. That's playing. Music is something on which you are to muse. You are to think. Music will affect your thinking. Your music tells you the way to think. Your music affects the way you think. That's why I'm telling you, stop listening to the music that's telling you about the world. Stop listening to the music that condones your old lifestyle. Stop listening to the music about immorality. Stop listening to the music about liquor. Stop listening to the music about nudity. Stop listening to the music that tells you drugs are okay. Stop listening to it. Why? You are musing. You are thinking on it. And when you think on it, you are that music is virtually condoning and convincing it in your life. And you're trying to get away from that old life. God gave you a new song. Why? God gave you new life. Music affects the way you think. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word singing is used 110 times in the scriptures. Solomon was used to write 105 songs, the Bible says. There's a great man from history, a great Baptist preacher. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's one of my favorite preachers. I love to study him. His mind was a great mind. If you've ever read any Spurgeon material, very, very powerful in the scripture, but very down to earth and practical. You know, some people get so smart, they get too big for their own britches. Use words you can't understand and get so theological. You go down deep and come up dry. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon knew God and knew the Bible well, but he knew how to put the jelly on the bottom shelf where everybody could take a lick. He knew how to preach in such a way that everybody understood what was going on, but he was feeding everybody at both ends of the spectrum. The people who had been in the church a long time walked away saying, boy, that helped me. And the brand new people said, boy, that helped me. He was a powerful, powerful preacher. When he was a boy, Charles Haddon Spurgeon's mother gave him a penny for every gospel hymn that he memorized. Every gospel hymn. Let me tell y'all something. That might be a good idea. I would bump it up from a penny to a buck or two, you know. But a penny. Mama said, for every gospel hymn that you memorize, son, I'm going to give you a penny. That'd be something that would be a good idea. Maybe we'd have less young people going out into the wrong kind of music if they memorized more of the right kind of music. See, salvation delivered you from hell. Now God wants you to have deliverance in your lifestyle. He wants to help you so that, hey, I'll tell you this, God delivered your soul from hell at salvation. Now what God wants to do is deliver you from a life like hell by getting your life cleaned up. Music plays a major role in your deliverance. Stay with me. Let me give you a few quick points and we'll go home. First of all, some of you here, you need to go ahead and accept your new song. The Bible says in Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock, established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth. When you get saved, you're to get a new song.
Amen.
Get a new song. Some of you that are saved, you went back to your old song. You need to get it straightened out.
Yes.
A new song. You say a new song? Uh-huh. A new song because of your new life in Christ Jesus. A new song because of your new goals with Jesus. A new song because you've got new friends in Christ Jesus. A new song because you have a new way of thinking. A new song because you've got a new leader. You say, who's my new leader? It's Jesus Christ. A new song because of your new desire to be clean and wholesome and right. A new song. The words new song are mentioned 9 times in the Bible. You need a new song to help deliver you from the old life. It's a must for deliverance. I've never watched anybody live the victorious Christian life listening to the old music. Never. Never. I have never watched anyone do what they're supposed to do for God while listening to the wrong music. Matter of fact, I'll guarantee you, parents, virtually every time you watch a young person slipping away from God, one of the first things you better check up on is what kind of music are they sneaking around listening to. Some of you better learn how to find out what kind of music's on their computer, what kind of music's in their iPod. You better figure out what kind of music they have on their telephone. I'm promising you, bad music deteriorates good Christianity. It's always that way. And so I say to you that the Bible teaches us that there is a new song. And some of you, if you have backslidden and went back to the old song, you need to straighten it out and get back to the new songs in Christ Jesus. Number 2, what is this new music of deliverance? What's it like? Well, I'll briefly describe it to you. First of all, it's a music that glorifies God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's pretty clear. Everything you do is to glorify God. That's God's mandate. That's what God expects. You say, that's ridiculous. Don't tell me I didn't write it. I just preach it. That's what God said. And it talks about our eating, talks about our drinking. I guess if eating and drinking is here and it says whatsoever, that means music too. Your music should glorify God. In other words, I should be able to bring your music into this auditorium and play it and it glorify God. You say, oh, I'd never do that. Then you shouldn't be listening to it away from here. And some of you live a double standard with your children, and that's why they're confused. Number next, what is this new music of deliverance? What's this force field that God builds around us? It's a music that glorifies God. It's a music that is biblical. It agrees with the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 54 says, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The word statutes there is God's word. It's God's commandments. You ought to make sure that your music agrees with God. Not agrees with the world's philosophy, but agrees with God. If anything in your music disagrees with God, then it's not so good. Should we have anything that disagrees with God? Really, if we think about it in its purest form, nothing. Nothing. Why? Well, whether therefore you eat and drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now you say, how am I going to know? You compare it to the Word of God. If anything in your music is contrary to the Word of God, then it's not good. It's not good. So it's music that glorifies God. Number 2, it's music that's biblical. Number 3, it's music that does not promote the world or a worldly lifestyle.
1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Folks, we're not supposed to be like the world. Here's something that some of you newer Christians are going to have to learn. You say, oh, I don't want to look. I don't want to look or act out of place when I'm out in the world. Christians look out of place. They act out of place in the world. See, I don't want people to tease me. I don't want them to think I'm, you know, little house on the prairie. Christians are supposed to be different. You say, well, I want to look like them. I want to act like them. I want to listen to what they listen to. I still want to be saved. In other words, you want to be saved, but you don't want the Lord to develop your life and you don't want to grow in the Lord. And listen to me. All of us have to deal with it. We're not supposed to be like this world. Your music's not supposed to be like this world. And that's just bottom line. Your music should not be promoting that you be like this world. Your music is to promote that you be like Jesus. And so it's music that glorifies God. That's what this force field is that God's trying to build around us. He said, I am going to compass you about with songs of deliverance. Not just songs about being delivered, but songs that will help with your deliverance. Some of you need to get away from some things in life, but the reason that you're not being delivered is because you've not got that force field of the right kind of music in your life. Number next. God describes our new music of deliverance. Listen, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it talks about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You can find that very same verse almost verbatim in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. You see, your music is to be music that does not attach you to the world. Did you know your music shouldn't have stuff in it that would make you seem as if you're an enemy of God? An enemy of God? You say an enemy of God? Mm-hmm. Listen, James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Listen, you shouldn't listen to music if that music would be an enemy of God. If you're listening to music that promotes immorality, that music is an enemy to God. If you're listening to music that promotes drunkenness, you are listening to music that is God's enemy. If you listen to music that is against spirituality and against God and against the Bible in any way, you're listening to music that is God's enemy. Now, you're going to have a hard time being God's friend while you're listening to music that is God's enemy. Any music that promotes the abuse of your body is God's enemy. Whether it's drugs, whether it's promiscuity, whether it's nudity. If you listen to music that promotes things that go against the Bible, that music is the enemy of the Bible and it's the enemy of God. It said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Boy, I don't want to listen to music that attacks the things of God. This is what we've said. And we're getting close here. Some here need to go ahead and accept your new song, and some of you need to get back to your new song. Secondly, the songs of deliverance are songs that glorify God. They're biblical. They do not promote a worldly lifestyle. It is music of deliverance, and it is not music that is the enemy of the Bible or the enemy of Jesus Christ. Now, what in the world would these new songs do for you? Well, I've already told you, they're songs of deliverance. If you want to go all the way with God, then you'll need to get His music involved. You say, I want protection. I'll just tell you right now, if you want protection, get the right music in your life. Get the bad music out. We were near the Mississippi River. I was just, I forget how old I was. It was nighttime. We had a Winnebago camper. My dad said to me and my brother, you guys go down by the river and get some wood for a fire. I had a little plastic case of Tic Tacs in my pocket. And when you shake them, you know, they sound kind of neat. So I'm down there by the river and I'm pulling some wood out and I could hear my Tic Tacs shaking. I thought that was odd. I grabbed another piece of wood. I could hear my Tic Tac shaking. So I put my hand on my pocket so they stopped shaking, but I could still hear it shaking. Well, next thing you know, my brother was running because there was a rattlesnake in the wood pile. And I could have been poisoned. Didn't even know it. At first, I thought it was candy. There's some of you, you got a rattlesnake in your wood pile. And it's your music. You might call it candy. But your life will get bit and poisoned to the point that you won't lose your salvation, but you'll lose the blessing of God in your life. You get yourself so messed up and backslidden and away from God, it's pathetic. You see, the songs of deliverance, what will they do for you? Well, they'll give you strength. Let me give you a verse. Exodus 15:2 says, "The Lord is my strength and song." Huh. Strength and song. Good music will give you strength. Bad music will deplete your strength. I promise you. Some of you that are backslidden and getting further and further away from God, I'll make you a promise. You get the bad music out of your life and put the good music in, and let's see if you don't start coming back toward God. Let's just see. Good music, songs of deliverance, will give you strength to do the right spiritual thing. God knows we come into church and we hear the songs that they sing in the choir. We hear the songs that the special music sings. Don't we get strength from that? We draw strength from the right kind of music. And it's just like putting a hole in your gas tank when you listen to the bad kind of music. You are draining your spiritual strength right out of the gas tank of your spiritual life when you listen to the bad music. You're going to run out of gas. It'll give you strength. Secondly, you know that right kind of music will even help your prayer life. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence." That's a prayer time. "With singing." Let me ask you a question. Everybody in here, those of you who listen to the bad music, you know who you are, and I know who some of you are. You listen to bad music all the time. What's your prayer life? What is your prayer life like? Some of you are destroying your walk with God with your bad music. Here it says music is going to affect our prayer life. And it will. You listen to the right kind of music, you're more apt to pray. You see, you listen to the right kind of music, it'll add to your strength. You listen to the right kind of music, it'll add to your prayer life. You listen to the right kind of music, it'll add to your spiritual courage. Psalm 42 verse 8 says, "Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me." Let me tell you something. It's talking about in the night. It's talking about the difficult times. It's talking about the hard times. And here it's talking about singing in the hard times. And I'm going to make you a promise here. If you are listening to the right kind of music, it will give you courage in the hard times. Your music, if you're listening to the wrong kind of music, will steal your courage in the hard times. The right kind of music will give you the courage to do the right things. Not only that. You're listening to the right kind of music will help you to defeat the enemies in your life. It'll help you defeat the enemies in your life. You see, it's called songs of deliverance, not just songs about deliverance, but songs that will help deliver you from what? The enemies of life. Let me read a couple passages of scripture to you. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Here's somebody's about to go to battle. There's an enemy. Something's out to destroy them. Listen to verse 22. "And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." These people won a victory as a result of the song that they sang. They began to sing and they won the victory. There are some of you, you're singing the wrong song, you're not getting the victory. The right music, I'm promising you, there are some of you right now, you are dealing with morality problems. And it has a lot to do with your music. I doubt that those of you that are fornicating are doing it to the purest gospel CD that you have in your car. I'll guarantee it. There's somebody in here, and I don't know of anybody, but if there's somebody in here cheating on your mate right now, whoever you're cheating with, I'll promise you, you're crying in somebody's beer and listening to some country song or some rock and roll song that is helping to draw you into that immorality. It's comfortable music for immorality. I'm just telling you, the right music produces victories over our enemies. One last thing and we're done. What are these songs? Songs of deliverance are something that they are not. They're something that they are not. Let me read a passage of scripture to you. I'll apply it and we'll be done. Exodus chapter 32, verse 17, it says, "When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto them, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. It came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, and he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount." In verse 25 it says, "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies." Here's the story. Moses had gone to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. Joshua had gone with him. They had left the children of Israel behind. And Moses is coming back now. He and Joshua. He's got the Ten Commandments, the tablets of stone. They get near the camp. And the Bible says that Joshua says, "Do you hear that? They are throwing a party. Listen to that screaming and that yelling and listen to that nonsense. It doesn't sound like they're being attacked. It doesn't sound like somebody that has mastered music whatsoever. Listen to that. It's songs. It's their songs that sound like there's a war going on down there." The Bible says when Moses walked into the camp, the music was being played. It was music that sounded like a war. Said they were shouting and just screaming. They were dancing. There were false gods. They were naked. The man of God took his Bible, threw it down. It broke into pieces and he said, "Stop the music! Knock it off! That's wrong!" I'm talking about he broke the Ten Commandments. I would say Moses was ticked off. Now let me say to some of you, stop it! If you are a teenager in this church and you are drawing someone aside with your rock music, stop it! If you are committing immorality to the tunes of the world, stop the immorality and stop the bad music. Stop it. So disappointed. Someone came to me. They had said, "Preacher, we're looking for a church to attend." It was down in Virginia. I said, "We're looking for a church to attend. We have a conference that we have to attend for work. Could you give us a church?" I gave them the name of a church that I'd been to about 8 years ago. They came back and said, "Oh, preacher, we went to the church. We got there. I'm sure you didn't know. Drum sets, electric guitars. They now have Christian rock and contemporary music there." And I said, "No, I did not know. By the grace of God, you'll never see that kind of trash at the old Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We'll stick with the old time way." Say, don't think you'd draw a bigger crowd? I wouldn't care how big the crowd was that I drew. Dead animal can draw flies. I'm not trying to. We'll stick with the old time way. This church has to go down to 10 people. We'll stick to the old time way. But now I think it's pretty obvious the old time way is working. Music and songs of deliverance. Some of you are not being delivered as fast from your old life because of the songs that you sing. Songs of deliverance. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There are young people and old people alike. You ought to walk this aisle. You ought to get right with God. There are people that have music in your possession that ought to be done away with. Radio stations that need to be changed that should never be gone back to. iTunes, accounts that maybe need just shut down because you can't control yourself. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, why don't you come and get saved? If you're here tonight and you need to get something right with God, I think there are people that need to walk this aisle, get on their face and say, God, forgive me. I'm backslidden in the area of my music. I'm coming back to you. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand.